Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, your DJ for tonight has spent hours setting up his lights. He spent ages performing sound checks, and he's refrained from touching the buffet. Yet, he's keeping reasonably sober and is prepared to play just about anything you care to ask for. Get ready for a very special night and party celebration.
Indeed, we have returned. We have returned. Doctor, can you hear us?
Yes.
Ah, excellent. Excellent.
I still got to get my script up, though.
Young man, get on that.
Of course, that's what happens when you miss practice.
Well, we missed practice last week.
Oh,
that's
Jesus.
That's for sure. Yeah, we, due to some personal issues and some other, out of the blue deals that we had to deal with, we were off the air last week.
And we were all over the Midwest, me and you. I believe you were in Evansville Sunday.
And I was
in Hell's Half Acre, Southern Illinois, Tuesday.
It was crazy.
Always fun.
But we're back. We're back. We are back. Wednesday, July 21st. This is episode 126. And we're going to get right to it. Tonight we'll be discussing all the results from the Money in the Bank pay-per-view from last Sunday. Also, Kane set a record at the pay-per-view. We'll talk about that. We'll also be discussing TNA's ECW troubles and the upcoming pay-per-view with them. And a story about a 32-year-old virgin diva. Do those words even go together, virgin and diva? I don't think so. So, and of course, this is the lead-in, you know, back-to-back at 11 o'clock, probably uncalled for. We'll be live. So you don't have to go anywhere. You can jump right from here straight to there and get another 60 minutes of mind-numbing entertainment.
Yeah. It's definitely going to numb your mind. I think that's the phrase I was digging for.
Absolutely.
I still have some weed to smoke while we're kicking this show off, so.
Woohoo! Well, let's get to it. Of course, we got all that coming up. And the Weird News Top 4. Because it wasn't that strange of a week. Believe it or not.
I'll even steal a line from Caddyshack, and I know this is good stuff because I bought it from a Negro.
Let's get back to business, and we'll see you in 60 seconds. It's a shameful thing.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
I just love that clip. Absolutely love that clip.
Did he have the chicken or the fish?
Just kidding. We've been joined by our good friend Mike Thriff.
Indeed.
Always a pleasure. Yes, indeed. And Black Curtains is with us as well. Yay! Of course, this is your ringside seat for what's going on in the world of pro wrestling and so much more, coming to you in living radio color. I'm your host, P.B. Dingles, the Internet Legend, and joined by the upcoming episode of Probably Uncalled For, the host, Dr. Thomas Keister.
Indeed.
Indeed. 646-595-4080, and remember to turn your speakers off before you try calling in.
If you're Eric's fat ass, swallow the bite before you dial the phone.
Now, he's in recovery. It's hard to dial anyway, but when you're in recovery, to get back to 100%.
Yeah, because I'm sure his vision is usually... say what?
Mother Nature won't stop him from DJing his sister's birthday party. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like I said, that's his two gigs in life, not getting paid to work wrestling shows and not getting paid to work family functions.
Come on, you're my aunt. You couldn't give me a couple bucks? Nope.
Nice. Mike the Ref says his identical twin took out the bionic cripple and won the world title. No, he just cracked open the pinata and got the belt inside.
Ooh, is this for me?
I'm amazed. I'm still stunned that Kane, one, has a world title. And two, he's held it for more than 24 hours.
I know. I'm surprised they didn't turn around and job him, you know, on Monday Night Raw, even though he's not even on that show. But speaking of that, we'll actually get into that. Of course, this past Sunday was the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, the first Money in the Bank, their attempt to see if it'll sell. I did see some of the pay-per-view, not a lot of it, as I did have to go to work. But what I did see of it, I was pleased. Of course,
I didn't even attempt to watch it. You know, they've been pissing me off on Raw for weeks, and ever since Rey Mysterio won the world title, I refused to watch the SmackDown with Rey Mysterio's champion. You remember last time this shit happened?
Yep, boycotted SmackDown until he lost it. Well, for some reason, they thought it would be cool to have two Divas matches on this fucking card. Women's champion Layla defeated Kelly Kelly, and Divas champion Alicia Fox defeated Eve. And I think I said it.
So in other words, Money in the Bank shortchanged the fans.
Hey, wait a minute. Didn't I have more coming back? Yeah, but we just took it.
The only thing that would have been worse is if Trish Stratus had popped up.
That's how. I think I had it best when I said that Divas matches are like the wind in the movie The Happening. They just make you want to kill yourself. So of course there was a couple of them. It's like the Divas are great. This is why you're being deleted from my friends.
The Divas are great to look at, to have the nice occasion. You know, they're a good jerk too. But
and don't get me wrong. No. There's a difference between a Divas match and women's wrestling. Do not be fooled.
Yeah, women's wrestling happened before 1996.
Yeah, don't be fooled. They are two different things. Two professional athletes that are female can go out and have a wrestling match. Then you can have two divas go out there and rub on each other and, you know, they call it a championship title bout. Don't see how that would work.
I don't disagree with the way you described it. Just don't put a belt on the line.
Well, those aren't belts. That one looks
like
MySpace. That one belt looks like the Divas title looks like somebody's MySpace background on their profile. Come on. Really?
Oh, wow.
But they did have a another.
I'm surprised since you brought it up, I'm surprised we haven't seen the Barbie WWE Diva.
Oh.
I mean, the bitch has been everything else. She's been a doctor. She's been an astronaut. She's worked at a freaking Mickey D's. Why not a diva?
Well, she is PG now, so might as well. Nothing about sexy, sultry divas in a PG format. It's like reading an issue of Playboy anymore.
Yeah.
So this is a dirty magazine. Is it really?
I thought it was interesting that Penthouse made a move to buy Playboy here recently.
Why not?
It's like, will I finally achieve the dream of opening a Playboy and seeing penetration?
Hell, I finally see the dream of opening a Playboy and seeing between the lips.
Indeed.
I mean, sure, they'll show the outside, the camel toe, but we've never seen, you know, in the lips. And the brown eye. When are we going to see a brown eye in Playboy?
Is that Penthouse buys Playboy? Let's see Olivia Munn pose for him then.
Yeah. No, they'll get Mark.
Yeah. Huh?
But moving on. Unified Tag Team Champions, the Hart Dynasty, defeated Jimmy and Jey Uso. Then, of course, was the Money in the Bank match on the SmackDown side, which was won by Kane, I should say. They did kind of.
And you know, the internet people, you know, people in the stands, you know, everybody, their first thought was, well, there goes the undefeated or the 100% success rate for the briefcase.
Yeah, you know, that's the first thing I thought, too, is like, yeah, if he cashes that, is he actually going to win it, or are they going to say, well, you'll be the first to. That's what I was figuring. And then Rey Mysterio was successful against Jack Swagger, which we kind of figured that would be anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But immediately after that, Kane cashed in and defeated him. So I'm like, so let me see. 1 month title reign, you're right there with Jeff Hardy now. So that was nice to see. The Miz winning his Money in the Bank ladder match for a title shot on Raw, and the WWE Champion Sheamus defeating John Cena thanks to the help of Nexus, as they were actually going after both of them, but yet kept Cena from touching the ground as he was climbing out of the cage, and Sheamus escaped. I was like, ah, clever. Clever. I like it. So, results-wise, not bad. Thankfully, they took the belt off Rey Mysterio. Because my thought was, every time I see him jump into that commercial, the 7-Eleven commercial at the end, every time he jumps in with the straw, I'm like, oh, he just blew a knee out. Because you know there was no retakes. I'll do it once, and if I make it through, we're good. Oh, my knee! 6 months out, can I get a belt? Absolutely.
Now they're going to have to recall all the Rey Mysterio straw toppers, because one of the legs will break off and create a choking hazard. That's what's going to happen right there.
Oh, wow.
I choked. My little kid almost choked to death on Rey Mysterio's plastic knee. It's like, hell, he almost choked to death on his plastic knee every day.
And the irony, and what was the time of death? 6:19. Let's go ahead and answer this phone call here. We have the 812 area code. You're live on the air.
Hey, guys.
Ah.
Hey.
He's recovered. He's recovered from his neck injury and back injury.
When you get a neck.
Oh, he's still
not recovered. It's a long story. But
Eric,
I'm no longer with XCW.
Eric.
Is that right?
I quit.
Eric.
What?
When you get a neck.
Shut up, Tom.
Okay, we're going to take a moment. I want to know why you quit.
Yeah, you're no longer with XCW Midwest, you say.
Correct, Amanda.
Did Mitch make you start buying tickets, too?
No, he tried to charge my nephew back on June 1st at the Lawler Show. When we did a big Crusade for Children show.
He charged a kid at a Crusade for Children show?
He tried to charge him $15.
That's old school promoter right there. He charged the crippled kids in the front row, and that's who he's raising money for.
You'll get it back.
That's capitalism at its finest right there.
So he charged a kid.
He tried to charge my nephew $15 for a ticket, and he was a Crusade kid.
15?
Yeah.
And how old's your nephew?
12.
He tried to charge a 12-year-old. It's like, look, that's more than $1 a year. Really? 15?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So when will I be seeing the Rise and Fall of XCW DVD coming out soon?
It might probably already started, because the show they did on July 6th where I had my accident, they only had 80 paid fans.
80's not a bad number.
You mean everybody's getting tired of the 2.5-minute intros for each wrestler?
I don't know if it was just that or the fact that they're getting tired of the same matches over and over and over.
Of course, I would say Mitch could rely on an internet audience, but he kind of shot that to hell when he missed up an opportunity to have my genius working for him. But, you know.
Well, let's get back to the show, gentlemen, if we will. Of course, a lot of people asking the question, now that they had a Money in the Bank pay-per-view, what's that do with the match at Mania? Basically, depending on how well the pay-per-view did this past Sunday as far as the pay-per-view draws, if it's a success, they may scrap it from the card at WrestleMania. If not, they'll probably go back on the WrestleMania card. My guess, it'll probably go back on the WrestleMania card.
I enjoyed the Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Their pay-per-view buys hasn't been as high as they what?
That's because Monday Night Raw has been tits on the board boring, and it hasn't had anything to build up to.
Oh, come on.
If the fans aren't interested in the weekly product, they're not going to be interested in paying for the extra.
they're getting Toby Keith as a guest host in October. I mean, doesn't that sound exciting?
Wow, he's really scrambling to stay relevant now that there's a Democrat in the White House. You know what I mean?
Well, also, as a result of Kane winning the World Heavyweight title, he is the first individual to win the WWE Championship, the World Heavyweight Championship, and the now-defunct ECW World title within the WWE company. I didn't even realize that until I read it. I was like, yeah, he is, isn't he? He's the only guy to win all three belts under the WWE banner. Now, Big Show has also held all three of these belts. However, his World Heavyweight Championship was a WCW title run. So,
that's for all of you out there who didn't know that wrestling existed before 1998.
Yes. And there's a rumor going around that Kane winning the belt was booked in part due to the belief he may be retiring in the future. Of course, you all know how that goes. And with his win at the Money in the Bank, he also set a record for having the longest period of time between world title reigns, not counting the ECW title.
Nobody
so
counts
anyway.
The ECW title,
yeah.
Man.
Of course, this was a
12-year gap. I mean, Mark Henry held it.
This was a 12-year gap. The previous record was from Bob Backlund, who lost the WWE title in 83 and didn't win it again until 94.
So, see, now Kane is legitimately a legend because he out Bob Backlund.
That's Mr. Bob Backlund to you, sir. And I like Mr. Bob Backlund. I always liked Bob Backlund, even back in the day. I always thought, you know, he had that old school technical wrestling to him, so.
Yeah.
I always liked Mr. Bob Backlund. I love when he went crazy, yelling at kids.
Pooping in chimneys. Pull out your stockings, kids.
He said, train, not brain. Well, we'll just have to make do, you know, this year. also, some WWE news. We're trying some different things here. WWE news as far as Facebook. An article on USA Today's blog earlier this week looked at the top brands in sports and their Facebook followers. The NBA leads the pack on Facebook with 3.2 million followers. UFC in second place with around 2.3 million. The Vancouver 2010 Olympics is in third place with a 1.2 mil. And WWE is number four on the list with 757,845 fans.
So it's kind of embarrassing that WWE is losing to the 2010 Olympics in a popularity contest.
However, though, the WWE is ahead of the NFL, the MLB, the NHL, and NASCAR, among others, on Facebook.
Well, I mean, I think I know what the problem with this is. I would have ventured to say that a large portion of the WWE universe, for some reason, is still hanging on to MySpace pages. Now,
yeah,
I mean, granted,
I still have two MySpace.
Yeah, I mean, we still have ours, but you know, that's obviously just for promotional purposes.
Yeah, I log in every couple weeks. Oh, I have new messages. You know. Join us for
once in a while,
party.
I need to start putting my status up. Go check my Facebook page. That's where the interesting shit is.
I actually have mine set up to where when I update, I think Facebook, it updates over there on MySpace, I think. Or Blog Talk Radio also updates on MySpace or something. I can't remember.
Well, see, I had that set up for my page as well, my Facebook page, every time I do something with Blog Talk Radio. But
what,
then it decided to start telling people my show was on 7 hours earlier than what, in fact, it was.
They can't get the show right when it's on the regular time slot. How could they get it early?
Yeah, I know. That's what cracks me up. They can't get this shit to work, you know, a good solid 80% of the fucking time, but yet they want me to pay $600 for a fucking transcript of my show.
Sons of bitches.
I don't know. Like, has Blog Talk Radio even made $600? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
sometimes I wonder.
To make it a little bit more crowded in the video game world, AAA has a, not the towing service, obviously, but the release date for AAA's new wrestling video game has been pushed back to avoid competition from the new Madden NFL game. However, they'll still have some major competition as the SmackDown vs. Raw 2011 comes out only 2 weeks later.
I definitely get AAA's
wrestling game.
Oh, yeah. I definitely get a AAA wrestling game. I mean, I'd love to get an emulator installed on my computer so I can play some, like, you know, Fire Pro Wrestling and stuff.
Oh, yes.
Well, yes.
You can get Simpsons Racing at for $32 in New Albany. But anyway, also, the WWE will be promoting SummerSlam during Fox's Major League Baseball games on August 7th and the 14th, as they will air a promotional video on the side of the DirecTV blimp that hovers in the air during the game. All the humanity until it crashes in the people.
Depending on who's playing, you know, if it's a Florida Marlins game, they'll spend more time watching the blimp than the field. And actually, speaking of which, I was watching a little bit of the Cubs game this afternoon in the 8.5-second window I had between everything I had to do today. Mm-hmm. But this one lucky son of a bitch in the, I think it was left field side, mm-hmm. had caught two foul balls in the game. Motherfucker needs to start buying Powerball tickets. Yeah, got two foul balls.
Huh. Damn.
He gave one to the little kid behind him, and was like, oh, okay, well, that's cool and everything. But yeah, it's like, man, start buying Powerball tickets, because, you know, who the hell catches two in one game?
That is a rare. All I know is the Phillies got the shit beat out of my Cards yesterday, like 7-1. And
My Cubs were up 1-0 in the sixth, so they probably lost, you know, 5-1.
I think I think the Cards are now tied with the Reds for first place, I believe I heard.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's depressing me most out of everything this year. I mean, you know, I'm a Cubs fan, I'm used to disappointment, but I'm not used to fucking Cincinnati being ahead of me in the fucking rankings.
I know, every time I'm like, what? They're still there.
No wonder Lou Piniella's retiring. He's like, fuck it, we can't keep up with the Reds. He's one step away from becoming Bob Uecker in Major League. And the cleanup hitter is going to be, I can't find him. To hell with it.
Who the fuck cares? Nobody's listening anyway. But speaking of nobody cares, the Over the Limit pay-per-view this year did around 190,000. Yeah. Did about 198,000 pay-per-view buys worldwide. The Over the Limit pay-per-view, WWE's first ever. And because that's just a lazy name for a pay-per-view. We're going to get rid of Backlash, but we're going to come up with Over the Limit. We're going to get rid of Judgment Day, we're going to come up with Over the Limit.
I'm just waiting for the day to bring back in your
You know
house.
What? You guys are overpaid. But the worldwide buys was about 198,000, were 115,000 being around North America. And, of course, Judgment Day in 2009 did 228,000. So they're not currently improving the product. Another reason they need to be let go is they're all currently very high on Divas champion Alicia Fox. Really? I've seen her do that one time, right? One time. She is boring. Boring. Decent looking, but she's boring. And Game Informer magazine has listed the WWE's new All-Stars video game as the number 43 hottest game of the E3 convention this year. Is that really, like, wow, we're number 43?
Yeah, I mean, do they have cake at the office for that one?
Now, they say that they note the game was developed by people who worked on the NBA Jam franchise and captured some of the cartoonish elements that
God.
The NBA Jam did.
No wonder they hit 43rd. This game's going to be a turd.
Well, the magazine notes that legends like Austin and Bret Hart are likely to be in the game, but stars signed with TNA, such as Hogan, Nash, Flair, Angle, and others, are still up in the air. Yeah, I don't think they'll be on the game. Don't think they'll be on the game. And for those of you that saw SmackDown this past Friday, Jack Swagger's... What the hell was that?
What's going on in the halfway house over there, Eric?
I'm watching video of the WWE All-Stars.
Watch it fucking quietly. What is wrong with you?
I'll send
you
the link.
The warning? Did you hear the warning at the beginning of the show? You got to turn the speakers off. But anyway, Jack Swagger's father was played by none other than Jimmy Golden, better known as WCW star Bunkhouse Bunk.
Now,
Bunkhouse
you know what the problem...
Bunkhouse airtime in 2010.
You know what the problem with that is, don't you?
What's that?
Do you heard about the big incident following SmackDown Friday?
No.
Jimmy Golden and Dustin Rhodes ran into each other and had to recreate the trailer match from... yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I went there.
Oh, my goodness.
The Blacktop Brawl, wasn't it?
Blacktop.
I'm like, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Who needs Shockmaster references when you can go that far back?
Well, for those of you that are around the Memphis, Tennessee area, you'll be happy to know Lawler, Jerry Lawler, has licensed his name and likeness to a local businessman for a new deli and retail shop that's planned for downtown. They're planning to open the store between August 1st and 15th. It will be decorated with memorabilia from Lawler's collection, and it will feature sandwiches named after politicians and celebrities, and Lawler wants to have one sandwich named the Pile Driver. Be careful who you ask. Can I get the Pile Driver? You sure can. And a new book by the WWE entitled Rumble Rolled, Untold Stories from Outside the Ring, is set for release, and which actually should be out now. It's a 208-page book. It's a completion of road stories from superstars as Jericho, Orton, Morrison, Shad Gaspard, and Chavo Guerrero, among others.
Wait a minute, Shad Gaspard? I thought they said stars.
Can you imagine? Everyone from Orton was like, well, I almost burnt the place down. I trashed the room.
They gave Shad Gaspard a new suit and killed his character. All right, next time, keep the suit, motherfucker.
Yeah, I haven't seen him on TV since his loss to JTG at the pay-per-view a couple months ago.
Yeah, in a strap match. I wonder if anyone kind of got the inappropriate tone of having two black guys beat each other with a leather strap. The only thing that was missing was like LeVar Burton or narration by James Earl Jones, for Christ's sake.
Sounds to me like somebody uncovered a 1999 Vince Russo idea somewhere in a garbage can. Hey, let's do this. Also, ECW original Mikey Whipwreck has said that the WWE has offered him a job as a trainer.
Take it.
Mikey Whipwreck, fine. We got Bunkhouse Bunk on TV, and Mikey Whipwreck offered employment in 2010. Yeah!
I'm surprised we haven't had a Stevie Ray reference.
Sucker.
As Dennis Staff's phone, in fact, rang.
No. He's still on the trampoline. And from Disney Ratings Twitter's page, Hannah Montana Forever brought in 5.7 million viewers on its premiere, beating WWE Raw, and is ranked number 4 on cable TV's top 25. It's pretty sad when Hannah Montana beats a kid-friendly program. Because if you've ever seen any, if you've ever seen 5 seconds of Hannah Montana, that is the god-awful worst thing you will ever see. I mean, Disney puts out a lot of crap, but that has got to be the absolute fucking lowest they've ever done. That show is fucking horrible. It is the worst copycat of Superman Clark Kent I have ever seen. I just put out, you know, different color hair. Nobody knows who I am. So much shit.
They don't care. All they see is underage hooker.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And over on TNA side of the ocean, of course, the ECW alumni have been invading, thanks to the invite from Dixie Carter. Now the
and we were talking about her before we hit the air, and I brought up the point. She kind of looks like Celine Dion with a couple of hot meals in her. You know, that's not a compliment by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But
no, that's not a compliment at all. But she invited the ECW guys to, well, I don't know, can I say that on the air, or am I going to get a, you know, cease and desist order? Apparently they're playing off WWE's One Night Reunion show 5 years ago for the whole ECW alumni One Night Stand, and it's promoting its own reunion show. Now, the rumor is, and it has been confirmed on their website, but the rumor is it's going to be changed from Hard Justice to Hardcore Justice One Last Stand is going to be the name of the pay-per-view.
Is this the third One Last Stand?
Well, no, that was One Night Stand.
Yeah.
One Night Stand. They're having the One Last Stand. Now, there is a commercial running on cable and satellite promoting the event as such, and it features TNA footage of ECW alumni such as New Jack, Raven, and the Sandman, and you can hear an audible ECW chant at one point during the commercial. Now, years ago, when Shane Douglas ran the ECW reunion show Hardcore Homecoming, the WWE's legal team demanded they edit out the fans' ECW chants off the DVD release.
Thanks,
guys. WWE. Yeah. Now, of course, it is an ECW-type theme. Pay-per-view is what the plan is. And after it's over, if they can be integrated into the TNA storyline, some of the ECW talent may stick around. Because there's sweeping to be done, boys. It is said that they're basically trying to copy the whole one-night stand by booking whoever they can, including referees and managers, in order for the show to have an authentic feel to it.
I just want to see Joel Gertner. That's who I want to see back on the
pay-per-view. Yeah, he better have his neck brace. And there's also talk that the company may also honor former ECW talent who will not be able to be there for the show. Now, Shane Douglas has also been contacted to appear, but has not agreed to do so yet. It is being reported that he has been pushing the idea of competing in a match against Ric Flair to play off him always calling Flair out on various ECW shows. There's your moneymaker, in my opinion. For anybody that knows what we're talking about there, you know, Shane Douglas and Ric Flair have never, you know, never been the best of friends.
And
he
the sad part
call
is
Flair a lot.
Shane Douglas's skills have deteriorated quite faster than Ric Flair's.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know him and Daniels had that god awful pay-per-view match, like, what, 6, 7, 8 months ago? I mean, it was just, and it was an absolute embarrassment to fucking watch. I felt bad for the fans. I mean, fuck Shane Douglas, but I felt bad for the fans. Like, you guys actually paid money to watch this. Not since Red Baron and Little King.
They chose us. This is entertainment to them.
I suppose when, you know, somebody already stomp on a hat.
Of course, the pay-per-view on August 8th, oh my God. It appears that RVD will be taking on Jerry Lynn in the main event.
That'd be worth the whole pay-per-view right there.
Oh yeah, Johnny Swinger is expected to appear on the show, possibly in a tag team match with former partner Simon Diamond. There's, for some reason, interest to bring Justin Credible in, but nothing's been confirmed. There's talk about sit-down interviews with former ECW stars between the matches. And the pay for the non-contracted wrestlers is rumored to be around $500 to $1,000. It's also rumored they might do some ECW-style house shows in the market where ECW was most popular. And Dixie Carter also approved Tommy Dreamer to be the one to book and run the show. Yeah, because if you tell Vince Russo, run an ECW-style show, we're going to get a big old clusterfuck.
He'll be paying fans to throw chairs into the ring. Bury him.
Now, I will say this, though. You know, ECW, when they did the one-night stand back in 05 and 06, it was really popular. It really took off. ECW never really got a proper send-off back in the day. And then, of course, Vince McMahon had to crap all over it with his version of ECW. And if TNA can do it right, if they can do it right, then I say go for it. But if they end up doing the same thing that Vince did to it, then this is a huge mistake. If it pays off for them and it works and the fans are pleased, then it's a gamble they should take. But if there's any nonsense, if you're going to end up putting Jeff Hardy as the leader of an ECW group or some shit like that, then stop now. Stop it right now. Because that shit will not work. Will not work. Speaking of not working, their May and June pay-per-views over in TNA, Sacrifice and Slammiversary, supposedly drew around 8,000 buys apiece. Now, that would be a gross sum of approximately $111,000 for the company. Now, that's before the expense of running a live pay-per-view event is factored in. Now, by comparison, they drew in the neighborhood of 25,000 to 30,000 pay-per-view buys when Impact was airing at 11 p.m. on Saturday nights. And when WCW was on its deathbed, the pay-per-view, they were still garnering about 40,000 buys of a pay-per-view. Now, to draw another comparison, illegal streams of wrestling pay-per-views, I don't know what those are nowhere near as popular as that of WWE's and UFC. There's a source in monitoring that says there's usually 30 to 50 unique live streams for pay-per-views with an average of 1,000 viewers per stream prior to the termination of the stream. For last week's Victory Road pay-per-view recently, there was only 5 streams across major live streaming sites, of course, JustinT.tv, Ustream.tv, and Fritocast.com. Victory Road garnered less than 1,500 viewers, and live streams for WWE events are in the triple digits, with most averaging 60,000 viewers, where the UFC events tend to have live viewers of excess of 200,000. You gotta love the internet. Got to love the internet. And a fan recently asked Dixie Carter on Twitter about the chances of Kevin Nash holding the TNA World Title belt. Why you would even ask that, I don't know. But Nash himself replied to the fan with the following. It's fake. I've had 2 matches for the belt in 5 years. I'd rather hold my ball sack.
Nice.
Why is he still employed there? Why do we have
I'd rather him just hold his nuts, too, because I'd rather see him holding that than a belt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But you heard me tease at the beginning a 32-year-old virgin diva. For those of you that old enough.
It's not Eric, ladies and gentlemen.
No, because he's no diva. Molly Holly is getting married soon. And she's getting married, her real name, Nora Greenwald. She's getting married to a former junkie, a recovered drug addict, named Gino Benchoof. I guess that's how you say it. And she says he is her first boyfriend. She is a devout Christian. She also admits that she is a virgin. She said she met Gino about a year ago.
No, she proclaims she's a virgin.
That hymen repair kit worked just fine.
She'll need to videotape the honeymoon.
Yeah.
DVD, baby.
Molly Holly Wild. She says, I'm a 32-year-old virgin that doesn't care to be a 33-year-old virgin. A short engagement was most desirable. We're waiting until our wedding night. It's pretty cool that Gino loves me enough to buy the car without test driving it first. And sir,
well, there's plenty of trunk space.
Well, if you get in that car and that seat won't adjust right and that steering wheel's off and, you know.
Then take it right off a fucking cliff and get a new one.
You're stuck.
That's what I say.
Of course, I've seen many photos and vlogs and stuff where her and Ivory are like roommates and shit. And, you know, where they're seen, like, brushing their teeth together in the bathroom and stuff. So, kind of makes me wonder. It's like, you may be a virgin with a dude. But, maybe some late nights with Ivory, a little booze. A little, I've never been touched.
Mm-hmm.
See? The mind can only wonder. Now, of course, over a 3-year period, Mr. Benchoof has been arrested, charged and convicted of a felony drug possession, burglary, and possession of a dangerous weapon. He was homeless, had contempted suicide, and had been stealing...
Contemplated suicide. He had contemplated suicide.
Contemplated suicide. What did I say?
Was in the neighborhood. Is that like attempted? I was like, no, he didn't attempt it.
Oh, sorry. And he's also been stealing from his friends and family. And in February 2009, at a sentencing, he was told it was either treatment or 56 months in prison. He said his arrest was a godsend. He went through treatment, swore off drugs, found a job, and met Molly Holly.
Man.
You know, if we get that line, she'll just go back to hardcore Holly on, you know.
She'll get CM Punk over there.
And speaking of suicide, former ECW star Chris Hamrick reportedly attempted suicide on July 13th at his home on his Facebook, because that's how we do it these days. We don't leave a suicide note,
yeah.
Kids.
Yeah, that's how a grown-ass man does this.
We update our Facebook status. He
I
want to
kill myself, LOL, smiley face. Go on and do it, jackass.
He wrote on his Facebook, big announcement tonight, stay tuned, it's to die for. Then he later wrote, hey, world, I just took 25 sleeping pills. Good night. He also reportedly sent several strange text messages to friends before authorities were notified, sent to his home, and he is reportedly getting the help he needs from friends and family. And maybe when he recovers,
just not any bookers.
What we're going to do, we're going to put you on this trampoline with Dennis Stamp.
No!
It's wrestling purgatory.
Oh, my goodness. So... Indeed. We got about 20 minutes left. We got some weird news, of course, at the top of the hour. We will be jumping straight into probably uncalled for, the 1 hour of news that you can't afford to lose. And you discussed a little bit earlier, Doctor. With it's going to be a good show. Going to be some good stuff happened over the last week that will be very made fun of quite much. But always to get your to whet your appetite here, we do the weird news. For those of you recently that saw about a month ago in Monroe, Ohio, there was a 62-foot high statue of Jesus, which was
touchdown Jesus.
Yes, touchdown Jesus. A King of Kings structure of the Solid Rock Church. It was destroyed by an intense lightning storm.
Can you see the light? No, because it hit the statue and burned it down.
And this was a bust of Jesus with his hands raised to heaven. And what was it made of, like paper mache or something? I can't remember. It was made of like 5 seconds. It was gone. But anyway.
Styrofoam and lighter fluid.
This is along Interstate 75 in Ohio. And while the townspeople mourned the loss of the Jesus statue, it is also noteworthy.
Because they had nothing better to do that week.
Exactly. It is Ohio.
Exactly.
It was also noteworthy that the lightning bolt may have hit the Jesus statue, but completely missed the large billboard, which was on the other side of the road, which ironically was advertising the nearby Hustler Hollywood pornography store.
Where is your God now?
Yeah. If there is a God, he has a subscription to Hustler. We now know this for sure.
No, there is a God, and he just one of his things just happens to be Asian midget porn. It's all good.
She takes it and
doesn't I'm,
even
I'm not here to judge our Lord in heaven.
INS girls. Yeah, INS girls gone wild.
Hey, you say La Migra enough times, they'll do anything you tell them to. I mean,
What do you think Larry Flint would say?
It's a victory for me.
I'm paying you to talk.
Am I done yet? You'll know. Hell, I don't know. I ain't got no feeling down there. But yes, indeed.
I probably finished half hour ago, to be honest.
I don't know if that's mayonnaise or I had a sandwich. I don't remember these things. But yes, indeed.
The guy that changed me quit last week. It's been a minute.
One red blink means number one. Two, it stays on. It's number two or something like that.
Yeah, it's like he's the Christopher Pike of porn.
Woo! All right. You have one here, Doctor, about one of our favorites, Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, yes, indeed. Now, the question doctors ask Ozzy is, why are you still alive? And it's like, well...
What are you talking about?
If I was him, I would have wanted to die a long time ago. I mean, look at his kids.
No.
Look at his wife. I mean, I like the guy's music, but, I mean, he's like the Al Bundy of rock stardom.
Mm-hmm.
His family is slowly dragging him into the abyss.
Yep.
That's why you seen where Kelly Osbourne recently broke up with her boyfriend, right? Or fiance or whatever, that little Macaulay Culkin-looking fruitcake.
Oh, I'm sure he's devastated, too, isn't he?
No, my first thought was, well, somebody sobered up. Because, wow, man. I mean, I'm sitting here. I mean, I'm a little high right now, don't get me wrong, but I'm sober. And I wouldn't do Kelly Osbourne with a stolen cock. You know, I mean, it's
Ugh.
Man.
But anyway.
But now the hard rock singer and reality TV. Who writes this shit? The metal icon.
That's
all there is to it. No reality TV star shit. No hard rock. No metal. Damn it. It says he's now clean and sober after a light. Yeah, you know how many times I've heard that shit? After a lifetime of. After a lifetime of almost unimaginably bad habits, in June he started two new ventures. Yeah, now I remember seeing this where he's become a health advice columnist for Sunday's London Times.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, oh come on now. What's next? Lindsay Lohan doing a charm employees article for the LA Times.
What the Christ.
But now, his other venture is undergoing the three-month process of genetic mapping to help doctors learn why, in fact, indeed, he's still alive. And At various points in his life, the now cholesterol-conscious vegetarian Osborne said he drank 4 bottles of cognac a day, smoked cigars like they were cigarettes, took 42 prescribed medications, and many more quote-unquote backstage drugs that he cannot even identify. He also has a Parkinson's-like genetic tremor, was once in a medically induced coma after an accident, and endured anti-rabies shots after biting into a bat on stage. Not to mention the unimaginable trauma of having to see Sharon Osbourne naked. It made me want to set my eyes on fire and then stomp them out.
Kill it with fire.
Kill it with fire, indeed.
Kill it with fire. Another unmentionable guest host. That good, huh? That good. And you have another one, actually. I have two of them back-to-back for you.
Oh, yeah. You got the next story, but it's just a blank space.
Yeah, I only got four. I only got four news this week. So.
Now,
just a week.
I got the gist of the story while we were bantering back and forth, and oh my God, The dumbening continues.
It does.
Now, I've heard some stupid lawsuits in my day. I heard of the guy that fell off the ladder trying to paint his house and sued himself.
And won
because his homeowner's policy paid up. Then there was the idiot, of course, the world famous, the idiot that tried to make a grilled cheese sandwich while driving in his Winnebago. He thought cruise control meant it would drive itself.
Well,
he got $750,000 fucking dollars because he wasn't. Some jury figured $750,000 is an appropriate award for someone who let go of the wheel and went to the back to make a sandwich. But now, the latest. If Google told you to jump off a cliff, would you? Lauren Rosenberg is asking for damages of more than $100,000 against Google Maps after she was struck by a car. you can just tell where this is going. And she found a lawyer to take this case is the great thing. But now, Rosenberg had queried the map service for a walking route between points in Park City, Utah, but a short stretch of the suggested route lacked sidewalks, and she was hit while walking in the street. Now, though Google and other map services warn users against walking in the street, because you need an independent third party other than your parents, your teachers, and every other authority figure on the planet to tell you not to walk in the fucking, or to be careful when you walk in the street. I should say be careful when you walk in the street, because hell, Louisville doesn't have, half of it doesn't have sidewalks. Now, her route was delivered on her small BlackBerry phone screen. Yeah, but still, I don't see where she's going to get $100,000 out of this. Maybe her stupid ass stayed out of traffic, she wouldn't have got hit. Call me crazy.
I call her crazy. And for those of you, we're going to end the weird news tonight with a little bit of hope. Not hope and change, but just hope.
Hope is for suckers and sick children.
Yes. If you're living in the, if you have to live in the West Tennessee Detention Facility in Mason, Tennessee, there is hope. There was a video made that pitches for California inmates, hoping some would volunteer to be outsourced under that state's program to relieve the overcrowding, because we need room for Lindsay Lohan. Now, the hard-timers would come east, the video urged, because of West Tennessee's larger and cleaner jail cells, 79 TV channels, including ESPN, views of peaceful cow pastures, and the dorm of the week, with its inmates getting to stay up all night watching movies and eating cheeseburgers or pizza.
Oh, my God.
One inmate
so,
was quoted
so
as
so the tennis the West Tennessee
it's college.
Prison system is like Canadian prison.
One inmate was saying, "You're not a number here. You come here, it's personalized."
What's up, Bob?
Wow.
You mind getting that cell door behind you when I leave? Thanks.
Yeah, why would I want to go out there? Now, California's outsourcing program is facing a lawsuit from the Prisons Guards Union, which is anxious about job loss. Wow. Come on down to Tennessee, where we have beautiful prisons.
So the prison guards, if they want to, you know, be anxious about job loss, just wait till, you know, they privatize the correctional system. Private company, they won't give a shit who's union and who's not. It's
You're
all profit to them.
You're overqualified, sir. Oh,
exactly. The work release program, they'll just, you know, recycle the inmates into guards.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go. And before we go, because we got about 5 minutes before kick some music out, and of course we'll head on over to your show. Of course, I write on Bleacher Report. .com, and my latest article, well, I put up a preview for the show tonight, but I also put up one about, in my opinion, the 13 top heel turns in the last 25 years, and I'll send a link to that. But also, somebody put up some
Dick Cheney's got to be in the top three.
Go fuck yourself. Breaking news, David Arquette wins the TNA World Heavyweight title. Now, this is, of course, satire, but it's actually quite funny. In an effort to draw more attention to TNA wrestling, Russo and Bischoff brought in their old pal David Arquette to face RVD, and he won the title from RVD.
I figured Jason Hervey to win it.
Well, when questioned about the decision to put the belt on a celebrity rather than one of the 300 wrestlers on the roster, Russo said, "Well, the WWE had that whole guest host thing going. It seemed to be working for them, so we came up with a new way to do it, but only better." And Hulk Hogan was quoted as saying, "Brother, WWE thinks they got this whole celebrity thing down pat. Look at us. We beat them at their own game." Now, he didn't win the belt cleanly, leading most to believe he will defend the title against at Hard Justice. He pinned RVD following interference from returning wrestlers Six-Pac and Scott Hall. And one source at the taping said that TNA had removed the ramp leading to the ring in favor of an elevator which would help Hall into the ring. The initial plan was to have the ECW faction come to RVD's aid. However, that plan needed to be altered since Tommy Dreamer was diagnosed with a sports hernia after high-fiving a fan at ringside, and Raven showed up in Philadelphia.
Wait, back up.
Raven showed up in Philadelphia, evidently forgetting what decade it was. And matters were made worse after Stevie Richards and Rhino were denied entry to the Impact Zone after security mistook them for crazy fans.
But let me get you straight. What was that one part you said?
Tommy Dreamer was diagnosed with a sports hernia after high-fiving a fan at ringside.
All the shit he does in the ring, and he blows out his groin high-fiving. That's why he's fucking retired.
Now, this is all satire, but it's funny.
I can believe it.
Yes.
He already got hurt. James already injured.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised they didn't go with David Arquette for...
I mean, look at draws. All he did was chest bump somebody. Oh.
Not anymore.
Oh, my.
Oh, you had to go there, didn't you?
Yeah.
No, this is not true.
Why? What's draws going to do? Kick my ass?
It's just satire for comedy relief. But if you do want to read my article, Top 13 Pro Wrestling Heel Turns of the Last 25 Years, and, of course, number one is not who you think it is. Who do you think it is, Eric? Because we have you on the line. Who do you think number one of the top heel turn of the last 25 years is? Go ahead and say it.
Hell, I don't know.
You don't know.
First honest thing he said in months.
What's the obvious? What's the one everybody picks?
Hogan turned heel.
Yeah, that's not my number one. So the link's in the chat room now. Check it
I
out.
I'm in the chat room.
Agree, disagree. Well, that's your fault. Agree, disagree. You can also sign up and leave comments on what you think. So, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Yeah. And see, I was going to pick Hogan on the NWO, but I thought, you know, Even though that
has
an effect on the rest. But here's the thing: it's too easy. It's kind of lazy, actually. And at the same time, I thought my number one, I picked it as maybe it wasn't as big as Hogan's in certain terms. It was one of the biggest, the first biggest heel turns. And I do mean biggest as in biggest. So there you go. And don't forget to check out Mike the Ref's show every Sunday, or at least this Sunday, at 11 o'clock Eastern Time, blogtalkradio.com/TheBlownCall. And with that, we're going to call it an evening here. Doctor, I believe you're going to be leaving us now here in the next 5 minutes to rev the engine up for probably uncalled for.
Yeah, I'm out of here now to go get the switchboard and everything else up.
All right, we shall see you there, and I'll be putting a link in the chat room here momentarily so you can go straight to it. So, Eric,
indeed,
can go ahead and cut you off now. Yeah, I'll let you go, man.
All right.
All right, then. And
give me the link on Facebook.
Well, I'm gonna put the link on the chat room, and I'll put.
I'm not in the chat room. The damn thing kicked me out.
It'll be on Facebook too. Calm down.
Okay, master.
All right. So with that, I want to thank everybody who came and checked us out tonight. And don't go away. We still got another hour of entertainment and all kinds of laughs coming with probably uncalled for in about 4 minutes. And I'll be putting that link up. So with that, this is PP Dingles reminding you all to be, you know, be sticking around. Don't be going nowhere. We got another hour. So let yourself be entertained. Don't read the spoilers. And I'll see you all right here next week for another episode of Inside the Squared Circle.